And greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who has saved us and washed us in his own blood. We're so thankful for that, and for that reason we can be here tonight. I'm still thinking of Ezekiel here, where Brother Steve read. I can't help but notice it says, they were to begin at the ancient men which were before the house. Start at the sanctuary, and judgment would begin there. Yeah, the message tonight is going to be geared toward young ones. You know, I think there are very few things that lead as many people away as inconsistencies in the lives of older men. And it's a challenge. And it should lay a challenge to all of us. That my life is a life that is real with God. And by my inconsistencies and my sin, that I am not pulling the younger ones away. We looked at the other night that those who know God's will and did not do it were the ones who received the greater damnation. Well, let's stand and sing number 460, our theme song. To be like Jesus, and we're going to try what we tried last night. So I'll try to start it right this time. 460, and we're going to have the ladies sing the soprano. The rest of the parts can hum, and we'll sing it the second time in all our parts.
Ooh, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, my desire to be like him all through life's journey.
Thank you. You may be seated. Before I forget it, there was a bouquet of flowers that showed up at my wife's house today, and I don't know who was responsible for it. I assumed it was this congregation. And so anyhow, I want to thank you for that, or your part in that. And certainly, it is a blessing to be here, and it's also a pool as well, and families at home, and so I appreciate when you remember them as well. Thank you for that. So the message tonight, if you want a title, you can title it Born from Above. And I want this to be a very simple message tonight that even the 7, 8, and 9, 10-year-olds can understand. I just want to be a simple gospel message. Now someone tell me what the word gospel means. We use it a lot. Do we know what it means? Someone tell me. Good news. Thank you. That's one thing we cannot forget, that if it were not for Jesus Christ, there would be no need to be here. I wouldn't be here tonight. We are here because there's good news to share. And I am a burden that we continue to have young people at a young age commit their life to Jesus Christ. And I'm very concerned, and I don't know y'all well enough yet to know if that's here or not, but I am concerned when young men get 18 years old and they just don't seem to feel the call of God, and I wonder what is wrong. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou say, I have no pleasure in them. Lamentations 3, verse 27 says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I love to see that young man leading songs tonight. That's what we need to do, is to get our young people involved in church life and to take that yoke of responsibility. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 15 Paul said, told Timothy from a child, he said, I know you have known the Holy Scriptures. Such a blessing to have people that have been raised in homes where the Scriptures were taught and they prayed together and they read the Bible together as families. And I want to tell you a little bit of a serious side now, statistics. And I don't know, I'm not going to actually give you the numbers because statistics can be a little bit the way they are. But statistics tell us that people who become a Christian in their lifetime, a very high percentage do it before age 18. After 18, the percentage is much less. It also tells us that after the age of 30, very few people ever change. If you're here tonight and you're over the age of 30, I ask you the question, are you okay with where you are? Now, I know that's not totally true. I just read this morning in 2 Chronicles, I forget, 30, 32, Manasseh. He was a very wicked king. Started out very wicked. And the Lord brought him into judgment and punishment because of his wickedness, and he humbled himself before God. And we know that it is possible after 30. But I think you and I also know that many times when a person starts a journey away from God, so many times they never come back. The first 1/4 of your life, little ones, young people, please understand me. The first 1/4 of your life is so foundational to how you will spend the rest of your life and how you will spend eternity. We use the term born again, born from above. It's a biblical term, and we could spend time looking at it. We won't too much here. It comes from John chapter 3 when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you remember the account, Nicodemus was a little bit confused. He said, what do you mean born again? He thought about a physical birth. But Jesus was not talking about a physical birth. He was talking about a spirit birth. And that is one of the things that must happen. That spirit part of us is the part of us that prays, the part of us that worships, the part of us that connects with God, where God connects through us. It is that part of us that must be born again. Back in connection with God, what was lost when Adam and Eve sinned must be reconnected again. And the beautiful thing is that in Jesus Christ, no matter what shape your life is in, you can start again. That's why we call it being born again. Number one, understanding the new birth. To become born again, I must understand that I have sinned twice. To become born again, I must understand that I have sinned twice. And in Genesis chapter 2, when God told Adam, he says, they were not to eat of the fruit of that tree. He says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And there's a lot of things that happened there in that time frame, whenever that happened. One of the things that happened is that the physical part of their body, they started to die. And because of sin, someday they were going to go to the grave. But another part of that also happened is that they lost connection with God. We talked about that spirit part, but they lost that fellowship. They lost that connection with God. That was one of the things that died that day, that fell to corruption. They were no longer able to have that connection with God. And because of that, every person who was born after that, That sinful nature carried through, that condemnation that came upon Adam carried through to their children and then to their children and is carried on down through the generations. And so, tonight we are sinners because Adam chose to sin. The Bible tells us, for by one man, Adam, sin entered the world and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. I have sinned twice. Now let me explain what I mean by that. And I feel like both of these are brought out here in the verses we just read. We talked about how that death has passed upon each one of us because of Adam's sin. Okay? And so, no matter how good you have been, there's going to come a day when you realize that you're a sinner. Because of the death sentence that came, that was passed down from generation to generation because of Adam's choice to sin. But there's also going to come a day that when each of us realize that the death sentence has passed upon me because I have chosen to sin. I have chosen to sin. Not only was it passed on because of my physical birth, it was passed on because I chose to sin. And I will confess to you, there were years that I read Romans chapter 3, and the verses that I just read, and I thought that was referring to someone out in the world, someone who really did bad things. And that was some of the reason for my journey in assurance of salvation that I had for so many years. I referred to that the other night a little bit. But you know, when I realized that Romans chapter 3 was talking about me, we like to think we are somebody. I mean, that there's none to do that. None is what it says. We're all unprofitable. All our deeds outside of Christ are unprofitable. Let's think about the choices, the times that we chose to sin. And I am concerned that sometimes you hear threads of people who would say things, well, they never really did anything bad. Really? Let's just look at this again. It says their throat is an open sepulcher. I want to ask you something. Have you ever ran somebody in the ditch? Talked bad about somebody? I have. Guilty. What the Bible says. With their tongues have they used deceit. Have we ever given somebody the slip? Lied? Just a little bit? Or maybe a big bit? I have. Guilty. You see, it's the choice to sin. I have chosen to sin. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Yes, I used to curse. I used to like doing it. I'm ashamed to say that, but I chose willingly to sin. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. We don't have Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We are hateful people. We hate so quickly. And you see, all of a sudden, I get down here and I realize that Romans chapter 3 was talking about me. Now we know that what things serve the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that my mouth may be stopped. And I realize that before God, I am guilty. Guilty. And as I think about some of the struggle with people being older and just not say they just don't feel the call of God, I'd just like to throw something out here. That if we are old enough to know that I am choosing to sin, then I am old enough to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life and repent from my sin. We don't need to have a lightning strike out of heaven. We don't need to have some call that we are unable to help ourselves and we just cut our feet. That's not generally the way it works. But if I realize that I have sinned, It is God's call for me to come to Jesus Christ. I'd like to read Romans chapter 7. Now, I know it's a lot here, and I'm going to try to just work through it in a way that we can understand it, for the younger ones to understand it easily. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, I think that's fairly simple language. The reason we know what is right and wrong, and the reason we looked at that message we did last night, and we had on the board that umbrella of grace and the umbrella of damnation, is because the Word of God gives us very clear direction on what is right and wrong. And so, we know what's right and wrong by what the Word of God says. It says, verse 8, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That means desire for the forbidden. Now, maybe we could explain it this way. Okay, maybe it's in school, and the teacher never had a rule about something, and you never really thought of doing it. But all of a sudden, one day, they made a rule. Today, we're making a new rule, and here's what the rule is. And all of a sudden, you just want to break that rule. You're not happy until you've broken that rule. You know how sinful men and women are? You see, we've rebelled against God. And when there's sin in our life, we just want to make sure we break that rule. We want to do that. It brings that. That's what sin does. It brings that out of us. For I was alive without the law once. It means I was okay. I didn't really want to do it. But the law came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Well, then that which is good may death in me, God forbid. But sin, then might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Well, let's try to explain this in a way we can understand. So, did you ever find yourself in a situation where it just became convenient to tell a lie? And then you go home, and then your conscience starts to work, or maybe it started to work just kind of like right away. And you go to bed, and you wrestle through it that night, and you wrestle through it another night, or maybe... And next thing you know, this little thing that you did all of a sudden is a big mountain in your mind. That's all you can think about all day. Can't even hardly work. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. And you see, whenever that happens, and this little thing, I'm calling it little, it's not really, but you know what I'm saying? This little thing that I thought probably wouldn't really matter, all of a sudden is this huge thing. The commandment is doing its job. The Bible says that's supposed to, how it's supposed to work. And so when we have these things in our life, this sin in our life, and we keep sinning, and it becomes a huge mountain, and I'm so grouchy, and I'm just like, my family has to walk around eggshells and feel like they're just, I'm so touchy because of the sin in my life and these things I've chosen to do that are wrong. You see, that's the Bible's doing its job. The Word of God is doing its job. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, but what I would, that do I. Not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We talked last night about how sin will rule a person. And that's what is happening here. Sin is ruling. They don't want to do it, but it's just like a magnet. Right back into it. Just can't hardly help themselves. See, sin is ruling. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, means I want to, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know how to do it. For the good that I would, I don't do. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Again, sin is ruling. This person is a slave to sin, like Romans chapter 6 talked about. I find then a law that I would, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring after the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And I cry out, O wretched man that I am! Who can deliver me from the body of this death? Tonight, if you're here and you're wretched by the choices that you've been making and the sin that you have been choosing to do, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is doing its work, and He's here to save wretched people, to give them a new start. Be born again. Number two, to become born again, I must believe that Jesus came to die for my sin and give me life. To become born again, I must believe that Jesus came to die for my sin and give me life. In Acts chapter 4, we have here this testimony. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way out of this trap that we have gotten ourselves into outside of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way to find peace and freedom. Again, I would like you to think about the word picture we looked at last evening. Whenever the death angel was going to go through Egypt and kill the firstborn, and they were to take that blood, and they were supposed to put it on the lintel and on the doorpost. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that is what happens to the person who comes to Jesus Christ with his sins. When God sees that person, the blood of Christ is there. And if you have never received Christ, you do not have that protection in your life. And you need it. It's the only way that Jesus can present you faultless to the Father, is through his blood. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, let's just stop here a little bit. Okay, so probably the devil thought he really had things in his favor. Because not only when man chose to sin, he was going to die. And guess what? It felt like probably he had things in his favor because they were going to die, and they were going to die in their sins. But when Jesus came, he died and he rose again. He came to break that power that Satan had over people for all those years. And in the years to come, Jesus came because of his death and his resurrection again. Death, Satan lost that advantage that he had. There is no reason for the devil to have an advantage in your life because of Jesus Christ. He came and he broke that power that Satan had. And he came to deliver them, verse 15, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All of us who are above the age of accountability, know what it is like to be afraid to die. Afraid of death. And I'll be honest with you, when I think about death today, there's a part of it that's still a little fearful for me, because I don't know what it's like. I don't know what, there's just things about it that you just don't know. But it's not the fear that I had when I was not ready to meet the Lord. Fear of death would almost paralyze you. Jesus came to deliver us from that fear. Tonight, if you are fearful, you are afraid to die, he came, it says, to deliver us from that fear. I still remember the day after I became a Christian. And I'd resisted the Lord for a pretty long time, even though I was very young, 13. I just remember the next day, I just felt so free. So free. So long had I just resisted God. And that I still remember that freedom that I felt. God wants to give that to anyone here who is not free, who is afraid to die. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now the blessing is that if you would choose to tonight to take Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, to be delivered from this fear of death, not only can you be delivered from that, but you have somebody that will walk beside you, somebody that will be your guide who has walked the way before you. He knows what it is like to live in the flesh. To live in, he took upon him, it says, for then as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he took part in the same. And he is a faithful high priest. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. I'd ask you a question. Are there things in our lives we really want God to erase? He will do it. That is his promise. He will put his law in our hearts. He will give us his spirit to guide us, to teach us, to mentor us. And those sins that have us bound by fear, he is going to erase them through the blood of Jesus Christ. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That very fear we have of ever facing God. I used to, before I was a Christian, I used to think about how I would argue with God if I died in my sin. How foolish. There'll be no arguing, brothers, sisters, when we meet God. There'll be no arguing. But through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you can enter into God. You can enter into the presence of God. You can pray to him. You can have come to him boldly, it says, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That conscience that needs to be cleaned up, Jesus Christ can do that. He specializes in that. And if your life is a wreck, he specializes in doing that, in helping that conscience become clean and free again. Number three, becoming born again is a time when we draw a line in the sand. Becoming born again is a time when we draw a line in the sand. There's a word called repentance that we could spend a whole message on. There have been people that have written study books on repentance. Let's just make it real simple tonight, okay? What repentance means. Repentance simply means the day comes that I draw a line in the sand. And I write on the other side of that line, I am done with my sin. Today marks a day But I am drawing a line in the sin. I am done with sin. I am tired of sin. And some of the reason that people become a Christian and they get back into sin and they just, and their life is a fiasco is because they've never got to the place where they've drawn a line in the sand and said, I am done with my sin. I am done. I am tired of the bondage of sin. That is repentance. Turn with me to, well, before we go there, repentance is not just, it was part of the Old Testament too, okay? And John the Baptist, when he was preaching, they came and they repented. People came and they said, listen, I am done with sin. Manasseh, he got to the point, he humbled himself before God and he was done with sin. But repentance is also necessary after Jesus died for our sins. We cannot keep, like we looked at last night, we cannot keep on sinning. That is practicing sin and brings us under the condemnation of God. Acts chapter 2. We have the commandment there of Peter to these people who were pricked in their hearts. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Draw a line in the sand. So get to the place where you are done with sin. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Draw a line in the sand with sin and be baptized, meaning make a commitment to Jesus Christ that you will not go back on. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I know that people come to Christ differently at times. I know some people's, I've come to the place where I've had to accept that some people's conversion is maybe a little more gradual. But I plead with us. There has to be a time when we get to the place where we say, I am done with sin, and today, from this day forward, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ with my life. And if that has not happened in your experience, I don't think you were saved. You see, if I am concerned that we get to the place where we just gradually get better and better. And with age, you know, a person can become more disciplined. Do you know what that is? That's humanism. And humanism will not save a person. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ will save you. We cannot just continue to discipline ourselves and get better and better. Yes, I know that's part of the Christian life. There must be a step where I just say, listen, I am done with sin. I want to serve Jesus Christ. Number 4, to become born again, I must make public declaration. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Verse 8, for what it saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Listen to this promise. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. A tremendous promise. And if you're here and you're under that bondage of fear of death, this promise is for you. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Just about everywhere that we read in the New Testament of a new birth experience, there was a public declaration of some kind. I don't know how your experience was. But you know, I became a Christian many times in my mind before I actually became a Christian. You know what I'm saying? Dear God, I'm done, okay? I just want to serve you. But I wouldn't tell anybody. And you know what? Didn't do any good. You know what? The day came, and I just couldn't handle it anymore. I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I had to make public declaration. And there is something that happens when we get to the place in life. I don't care what it's about, but I feel strongly about something. I am willing to make a public declaration about it. There is something that will happen to you that would never happen if you just kept it in your head. And that's the way it is of serving Jesus Christ. If we're going to make it, if you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you're going to have to make public declaration now and keep on doing it. And keep on doing it. See, I don't know that, I know we use the scripture a lot for the new birth and it fits very good. But I don't see a time limit on this. I mean, I don't see a place where it stops in the Christian life. We're going to have to continue to confess Jesus Christ as we go throughout our life. I remember when my sister and I responded the same night, and the evangelist told us, he said, I want you to get home and I want you to tell somebody. We already stood at church service. I want you to get home and tell somebody. And I went home and called my grandparents, I think that we did. It's a way of establishing, drawing this line in the sand that you go home and you call somebody on the phone and you tell them, I became a Christian tonight. It helps draw that line, confirm that commitment that we've made. You know, that includes going back to those that we have wronged. It really does. We looked at that last night. I won't spend a lot of time on that. But you know, mostly a good place to start is with the family you've been living with, because you know what? Most times we've been miserable to live with. You know, parents mostly are not real surprised when their child becomes a Christian. You know why? Because we were under that sentence of guilt, sentence of death. And we're just touchy because of the conviction that we are under. Number five, when we make a decision for Christ, there is no turning back. We make a decision for Christ, there is no turning back. Luke 9, verse 62 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. How many here have ever plowed in their lifetime? Or you can even find this out in the yard. You know what happens if you're mowing yard or you have a big long, or you're plowing, and you're looking around and you get to the end of the field and you look back and you'll say, what a ridiculous fur I just made. But you know what? You set your eyes on a tree out there where you want to go and it'll be straight. And that's exactly what he is saying here. He says, when you make this decision, you're going to start plowing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes on the goal. The day you take your eyes off the goal, you're gonna make a terrible error and your plowing will look horrible. Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Tonight, if you want to serve Jesus Christ, this is something that's going to take every bit of energy and every ounce of energy you have. You're going to have to be, it says, you're going to have to get violent and take it by force. It is not going to happen very easily. It's going to take all the energy that you have for the rest of your life to be faithful. Luke 16, verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man falls into it. Is that what it says? Press it into it. There's a big difference. Effort, energy. And it may be that if you make the decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may mean that your friends will no longer want to walk with you. I don't know. Mostly that's just a gimmick that something that Satan puts in our mind that's just a fear that don't amount to anything. But someday, some friend that you have, when you make the decision to serve Jesus Christ and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, some friends may walk away from you. And it could be that someday, because of your decision to be faithful to Jesus Christ and His church, that maybe You will have to leave family. Some countries, that's the way it works. I don't know what your situation will be. It's just that when we embark on this journey, there's a commitment to the goal that nothing can interfere with. And it's going to mean that many times in your life, you're going to have to reach outside your comfort zone to do what is right. Brothers and sisters, it is worth it. It is worth it. Number six, we make a decision for Christ, we will have a friend at all times. We make it have a friend at all times. And I marvel at times how when you get to rubbing shoulders with the world and different people, of how so many people have no friends. Did you ever run into that? You also realize how blessed we are. A brotherhood, brothers and sisters. But first of all, you will have a friend that you can rely on no matter what the time of the day or the hour it is. And he's never going to be sleeping. He's never going to be unavailable. John 15, verse 13 through 14. This was Jesus' words. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. He will be your friend. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and what? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, even in marriage, one of the closest relationships on earth cannot take the place that Christ can fill in our life. Either sometimes heartaches, problems in life, you just take it to Jesus Christ. Take it to Jesus. I am with you always to the end. 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment. Which side of that verse do we want to be on? Which side do we want to be on? Very serious. Number seven. When we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, we join a kingdom that will not fail. We join a kingdom that will not fail. Daniel 7, verse 14. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7, verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and shall possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7, verse 27, same chapter. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Tonight, I plead with you. Are we going to give our life to the kingdom of Jesus Christ that will last forever? Are we going to give our life to the kingdom of this world that are guaranteed to fall? Tonight, the decision is ours to make. No one can make it for you. Nobody can. But I plead with you to consider the consequences of our choice. And I suppose you haven't forgotten the message of the first night. I plead with you, we don't want to spend eternity there in hell. I plead with you, we don't.
Christ's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It will go on forever and ever. And the scriptures tell us that we cannot even imagine, put in my own words, what Christ, God has prepared for those that love him. God wants eternity to be a beautiful thing. But it starts with a choice in this earth to serve Jesus Christ with all of our life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the beautiful words of life that we have. We thank you so much for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that when we accept you as Lord and Savior, we confess our sins, we make it right, that the blood of Jesus Christ stands there in our place. And that you will present us faultless to God because of the blood. We just thank you, dear Jesus, for that. Thank you, dear God, for your plan of salvation. Father, I just want to pray that if there's somebody here that is not ready to meet you, somebody who is living under that guilt, that fear of death, afraid to die, dear God, would you speak to them tonight and help them to make the choice to serve you and to be part of a kingdom that will never fail. We give this service to you for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to give an invitation tonight. If you're here and you fear death, please come to Jesus. He will take away that fear of death. He will take away that bondage. And he will cast your sins behind his back. We'll have a song, and if you feel God speaking to you, you know your heart is not right, stand to your feet until you're noticed.